Again, this is a very, very special day for the Jews. It's the most holiest of days for them, Yom Kippur. It is an exciting day for us. There is so much that is going on during this very particular holy day when it is fulfilled. There is the mixture of things that are great and wondrous and also things that are humbling to watch and to see as a great hope is going to come to fruition. We understand, brother, there's going to be a myriad of things that happen, prophetically speaking, that lead up to the time when the Day of Atonement is going to be fulfilled. We know that the dragon and his army, once it's cast down, are going to go berserk and go after God's people and try to destroy them, that God will protect them. We know that the Archangel Michael is going to be busy also watching over the people. We know of a great army that will be assembled as well. We open up our message this afternoon, brethren, by going to Revelation chapter 19. Because what is being assembled, brethren, along with a massive army, another army is also on its way, headed by the King of Kings, to set for the binding of all that is evil. If you like titles, brethren, the message today, our title is All Evil Shall Be Bound. All Evil Shall Be Bound. Here the Apostle John is reflecting upon a vision that he's seeing in regards to the beast and what it is doing, what it is attempting to do, as they are now preparing to make war. He says in verse 19 of Revelation 19, "And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies, gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army." As I mentioned earlier, it does not appear, brother, this battle is going to take long at all. Because we move right from verse 19 to verse 20 where the beast is captured. So it doesn't look like we're going to have to get down here and go World War I and dig trenches. And Christ's going to say, okay, guys, this could take a couple of years to uproot these things. Now, boom. It appears like it's going to be swift. The beast was captured. With him, the false prophet, who worked signs in his presence, who gave them the power, of course the dragon did, Satan the devil. They used that power and their signs by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. And all the birds were filled with their flesh. This beast was evil. The false prophet was evil. They took their power from the dragon. And so they're cast alive into that pit. Let's go back a few chapters to Revelation 13 to see just how evil and sinister, brethren, it's going to be, this beast, this false prophet as well. They're going to be saying and doing things, brethren. In Revelation 13, verse 6, "And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. He was given authority to continue for 42 months, 3.5 years. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven." This is the evil, brethren, that's going to be put away permanently. We know it does not end there, don't we, brethren? We will then witness prophecy being fulfilled. Our closing hymn today, brethren, is one that's very familiar to all of us. Within the hymn we will sing at the conclusion of services today is this line: the cause of sin and death shall be made plain. If you don't know by now, that's hymn 184, when Christ shall come. The cause of sin and death shall be made plain. That hymn encompasses the entirety of the fall holy day season. That one hymn. From Christ's return to the Father coming down to this planet and dwelling, as we just sang a moment ago, with his people. We will see this in an amazing way being played out. But also in a small way, it was played out through one of God's servants, Joshua. Sin and death, coupled together, had found its way into the camp of the Israelites. You remember the story. When God commanded them, after they defeated an army, a city, don't take of the accursed things. And of course, Achan did. He took of the accursed thing, and not too long after that military engagement, they ran into the small army of the men of Ai, where they made a multitude of mistakes. The biggest one of all, not inquiring of God. The other time they inquired, have you delivered them into our hands? God said, I've delivered them into your hands. They look with their eyes and say, oh, these guys are nothing. They're second rate. Let's just go down there with a few guys. And they were defeated to the point where the men of Ai chased them back. And death arose. Sin was in the camp. Achan did something in secret. And he deceived the people into thinking, you know, everything was okay. And when Israel met their match against the men of Ai, he remained silent. So he deceived the nation. Of course, Joshua and the rest of the children of Israel cried, sighed, moaned, all night long. God, what happened? Why weren't you with us? What was the issue? Well, sin was there. Proving once again, brethren, God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. In Joshua chapter 7, after God had decided, okay, you've cried and whined enough, it was time for them to go to work. In Joshua 7, verse 10, the Eternal said to Joshua, get up. Why are you lying on your face? Israel has sinned. And they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken some of the accursed things and have both stolen and deceived, just like the beast and the false prophet. They use deception to deceive the people. And they have put it among their own stuff. Verse 15. Then it shall be that he who is taken with the accursed thing shall be burned with fire, along with all that he has. Where does the beast and the false prophet go, brethren? They're burned in a lake of fire. God's saying, sin and death is in your midst. Joshua, it is time to make it plain where the sin and death is. And if you remember correctly, brethren, what did God tell them? If you don't, he said, I'm not going to be with you anymore. To me, that would scare me enough to go looking everywhere if God's going to leave me. And of course, Joshua went after it to expose it. It was to the point where God said, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Eternal and because he has done a disgraceful thing in Israel. So Joshua sent out, they begin to bring the families in, they're checking all around, and finally they discover. Verse 22, Joshua sent messengers. They ran to Achan's tent, and there it was, hidden in his tent, with the silver under it. And they took them from the midst of the tent, brought them to Joshua, and not just that, brethren, and to all the children of Israel. They said, there it is. They could see it. So it just wasn't relegated to showing it to Joshua. The brethren, there it goes. The cause of sin and death made plain. To all the children of Israel and laid them out before the Eternal. The cause of sin and death shall be made plain. Verse 24. Then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and everything he had. This was going to be a complete purification, brethren. When the beast and false prophet go in, it is going to be a complete purification. So imagine the scene. Just like the scene when the powerful angel comes down with the chain and binds Satan. And we're looking. In a small way, this was the same way. They took everything out. So there he is out there himself, his wife, his kids, his animals, what he stole, everything. And they went to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day. So all Israel stoned him with stones. They burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Because, brethren, the sin had to be put away. And the sin having been put away, we're told God turned from his fierce anger. The Day of Atonement reveals to us, brethren, the moment when the cause of sin and death shall be made plain. And once that is removed, you want to talk about a reconciliation between God and man that's going to be like it's never been before? We have it now, but the adversary's still out there. And he's still trying to split us apart. We will see one day, brethren, it being taken away and bound for 1,000 years, and then those people who have come out of great tribulation are going to say, this is so different. This is so different. Jesus himself spoke of it, brethren, John chapter 8. The power that is out there and behind this diabolical scheme to try to destroy the people of God. Jesus himself ran up against it after having fasted 40 days. He ran up against it when he was trying to explain to the scribes and the Pharisees, who likened themselves, oh, Abraham's our dad. Christ, well, all right, well, let me tell you something that you ought to understand about Abraham. And let me tell you something about the relationship you're supposed to have with God. And they couldn't get it, brethren. And so he posed a question in John 8:43. Why do you not understand my speech? He would tell them things, and they could not embrace it, brethren. And not only that, they made it hard for other people too. So he could have said, you know, why do you, Pharisees, and why do you make the way so hard for people? Jesus Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Why are you making it hard for people to follow me? Because they were. And then he told them why. Because you are not able to listen to my word. Something was out there causing it to run up against the wall. And he said, I'll tell you why you're not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil. Said, that's your father. Abraham is not your father. He said, if he was, you'd love me, but you hate me like my adversary hates me. And your desires are to do the will of your father. You want to do them. He was a murderer from the beginning. The cause of sin and death. Starting with Mother Eve. Oh, kind lady, you won't die. Has God said you'll die? Murderer. Murderer. The same spirit that overwhelmed Cain. And God warned him, listen, you ought to overcome this thing that's trying to grab onto you. But if you don't, what was lying at the door? Sin. And death. Because he does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Brethren, you see so much today in politics. You see the half-truths. You see the bold-faced lies. You see the deceit that's out there with people. And, I mean, so many people, they're so tired of the deceit. And when you try to go get answers, you're stonewalled by other people, or you're told that it's not important that you know that, so we're not going to tell you. And you run and you put a lot of people in front of you so they can answer your questions, and you never really get to the truth. Satan's like that. There's no truth in him. And he puts out those wavelengths into this world. Why has the world so deceived itself into violence as the solution to bring about peace, brethren? You see, we need these nuclear weapons. Why? To maintain peace. Oh, but your country can't have nuclear weapons because you don't know how to handle them. You're not responsible like us. We maintain peace. We have rolling assassinations of political or military varieties, and it brings about what? More assassinations and murders? Jesus said he was a murderer from the beginning when he became Satan. He went from light bringer, beautiful, wondrous archangel. God said, you were perfect. And when all was well, what a time. And then he got caught up in his beauty. And then pride. And then murder. Because we got to get rid of this God so I can. And from that moment on, brethren, he's been at work. He's been at work. The influence is out there. We're told whoever hates his brother is a murderer. First John 3:15. And not only that, brethren, we're told, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. That's why the beast and the false prophet went where they went. There's no eternal life in them. You know, what is the future for someone of that mind? Well, Revelation 21:8 tells us. Revelation 21 and verse 8. It tells us. As I said, brethren, the cause of sin and death shall be made plain. And those who have so ordered their lives to the point where they are incorrigible, then God says, here's where you're headed. Revelation 21, verse 8, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. All evil shall be bound. All of it. And yet, brethren, even for a murderer who changes his way, God is willing because something else is going to be made plain in that day. We read about it in Jeremiah chapter 31, that even a murderer can repent and change and have a relationship with God. Jeremiah 31, verse 33. Again, it doesn't exclusively speak to Satan's plight. It also speaks about what is going to happen, brethren, with man's nature as he's introduced to his God. Jeremiah 31, verse 33, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds, just as he did to you and me, and write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. He says, they're all going to know me. Once that entity is taken away, brethren, once all false religion has been done away with, you now have true order. There is one truth. And man is going to learn. From the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity. I will forgive their iniquity. And their sin I will remember no more. So even a murderer, brethren, can come back if their repentance is from the heart. but for those who lust after it, monger over it, it's a hard place that they go to if they don't repent. God will make it abundantly clear where people are to place their trust and their very lives. It will be a new covenant. This Day of Atonement, when people will know in many cases for the first time that God is spirit. He's not a rock. He's not a star up in the sky, a piece of wood, a tree, a cow. And they'll say, he's not a cow. We've been worshiping cows all our lives. They will see, brethren, for the first time, having been deceived by the God of this world, and that he's going to forgive their iniquities because they will be taught how to repent. They will be taught how to repent. They will be taught how to ask forgiveness from God, the true God. They will learn how to have an effective relationship with him, that they can call upon him at any time, that he's not busy, he's not aloof, he's there. So just as the cause of sin and death will be made plain, so will the cause of righteousness and life also be made plain. People will be taught for the first time, brother, in so many ways, how to live their life. Some people don't know how to live. They don't. They go from episode to episode to episode. Stress to stress, to stress. They will know God. Remember the words of Job when he truly discovered who God was. Remember what he said? He said, I heard about you by the hearing of my ear. Heard about you. And tried to live a good life. And he did, because God told Satan that he was. But he didn't know him to the level that he would come to know God until after he went through what he went through. So he said, I heard about you. But now my eyes see you. I see you. And then he said, because I see you now, I see your works. I see your impact. He said, I abhor myself. And I think a lot of people, brethren, are going to say those, I hate myself. Because I thought, you know, I heard your name. I had a little bumper sticker on my van that said your name. You know, went to buildings that, you know, talked about you. I heard about you. But now I see you, I hate myself. Because you were always there, but I didn't know it. And like Job, brethren, as we read later, we're told what in the chapter? God accepted Job. Then he went to his three buddies and said, listen, I'm going to curse you unless you repent like my servant Job. And people, brethren, are going to come by the hundreds of thousands for what reason? To be accepted by God. Because they're going to learn what sin is and what they did. And they'll be so shocked, so... Because remember, when Satan's gone, now you find out what you are. And you're going to go and say, I don't even know why I'm alive. Don't kill me. Please accept me. Like a little child telling his parent, Mommy, don't be mad at me. They don't want Mommy mad at them. It hurts them. And so they go up, they want to what? Reconcile. So mommy can carry him in the bed and put him in bed and kiss him, and it's like, it's okay now. Can you imagine adult people doing that, brethren, when they know who God is? I heard about you, but I did not know you. And the things I did to your people, the words I spoke to your people when they kept the Sabbath and the holy days, and they didn't come back at me in anger, and, you know, how do I get to live after all of that? I fired some of them. I mocked them, laughed at them. And God's going to say, you didn't know. We're going to say to him, you didn't know. Like Job, he didn't know. But now you do. To be at one with him is going to be a whole new experience, brethren, for so many people. God is going to make it plain for all people, because they're no longer going to be wired to the God of this world. I was listening to a sermon last night, Mr. Savidio, and it just hit me, you know, all of us who have smartphones, we can identify with this straight up. You know, we always talk about, you know, looking for a hotspot. And he was talking about, you know, Satan has hotspots, spiritually speaking. You know, he has strongholds. The Bible talks about synagogues of Satan. It's like where they have strong areas. You know, and he has these hot spots that he wants us to dial into. And it gets his attention. He also gave the example of an Olympic-sized swimming pool. They did studies. You put a shark in an Olympic-sized swimming pool and drop one drop of blood in the water, and the shark goes, there's blood in the water. And he goes looking for it. There's blood. And where there's blood, there's food. And in so many ways, brethren, that's how Satan responds. He lurks around, look, like a roaring lion, waiting to see, that's Mr. Walsh. He's got an attitude of resentment. I'm going right there. There's an opportunity there for Mr. Walsh. You know, or he's holding some things inside of him. There's an opportunity, and he moves towards it. Maybe through Mr. Walsh I can hurt the church. Prince of the power of the air. And just like that drop of blood, if our heart goes bad, our heart goes wrong, our attitude gets... He's right there. Because we do fall occasionally, don't we? We're not perfect. Satan would like us to just go whole hog into sin, where he could do his pleasures. But brethren, this day pictures a time when people will no longer be wired into the God of this world. There will be a spiritual innocence like we've never seen before in a world that does not have that evil there anymore. And people are going to have a spiritual innocence that will evolve, because that desire that is in humans to what, brethren? Be accepted. Don't we like to be accepted? Don't we want to be liked? Does anybody here want somebody hating them? No. There's a desire to be accepted. And to be accepted by God as God told Cain, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if not, sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you. But God desires repentance and change. He wants to blot out transgressions, brethren. We read that in Isaiah 43, verse 25, where he says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. What a promise. I will not remember your sins. And thus begins a relationship that mirrors the one, brother, that you and I share with God at this time. Imagine that on a planetary scale. A whole planet moving towards him instead of away from him. That an entire planet, when it's time for the feast, everybody is getting ready for the feast. Everybody. Right now it's tough. Right now it's difficult. Because people want to be accepted in other people's eyes, in other people's sights, rather than God's sight. But just as God was merciful with all of us, brethren, so shall he be with those who at one time had no knowledge of him. And it will involve everyone, brethren. Go to Isaiah chapter 56. Isaiah chapter 56, it's going to encompass the entirety of this world. Everyone is going to be accepted. Isaiah 56, verse 3. Do not let the son of the foreigner who has joined himself to the eternal speak, saying, the Eternal has utterly separated me from his people. Nor let the eunuch say, here I am, a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant, even to them I will give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than that of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the foreigner who join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord to be his servants. Everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel says, yet I will gather to him others besides those who are gathered to him. It's going out to the entirety of this world, brethren. But first, all evil shall be bound. The significance of the two goats that we read of in Leviticus 16, the offering that takes place, Leviticus 16, let's turn there please, begin in verse 8, after he takes the two goats, he presents them both before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And then he will cast lots for them. One lot is for the Lord and the other lot is for the scapegoat or Azazel. Verse 9, and Aaron shall bring the goat on which the Lord's lot fell. So he throws a lot. The one, here's the one for the Lord. Whichever goat it hit upon, that was the one that would represent Jesus Christ. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it and to let it go as the scapegoat into the wilderness. Now, some have incorrectly believed that the goat left alive represented Jesus Christ. When you look closely, brother, to see that the one on which the Lord's lot fell, that's the key. The one that fell to God. That's the one that died. That's the one that sacrificed. The other was presented alive and then removed to the wilderness. Verse 15, he shall kill the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people. Bring its blood inside the veil. Do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. So on it and before it. So shall he make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their transgressions. For all their sins. And so he shall do for the tabernacle of meeting, which remains among them in the midst of their uncleanness. And so this is what was done. You see, we celebrate this day, brethren, not with the feasting of food, but fasting from the heart. Just like when this day is fulfilled, brethren, I think the last thing on our minds when we see Satan being taken away is food. We're going to be looking and viewing something that has never happened before. Ever. The binding and putting away of evil. Unlike the war crimes tribunals that can take decades, they just found a woman the other day, 91 years old. You still find these people responsible for thousands of deaths, pressing the button. But who is the cause, brethren, of sin and death? Let's go to that day in Revelation 20. Revelation chapter 20. John has been watching angels come and go and pour bowls and blow trumpets and powerful angels in the sun, angels at the Euphrates holding back the four winds and on, and now he views yet another powerful angel in verse 1 of Revelation 20 coming down from heaven having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years were finished. You know, when Aaron had finished placing the sins on the head of that Azazel goat, brethren, he did not return to the holy place, but went to the tabernacle of meeting and washed himself and he changed his clothes. Then he went out and made atonement for himself and the people through a sin offering. The evil had been put away. Their sins had been put away. He was now ceremonially clean. When Satan is bound, brethren, and cast into the bottomless pit, it signals an end to evil and deception for 1,000 years. At that moment, there will be great rejoicing as the children of God will be assisting their elder brother Jesus Christ in reigning. That's when it commences, brethren. He's thrown in, 1,000 years begin. From that moment, 1,000 years begin. Brethren, you are proof. And you will be proof to this world. You are proof that atonement for sins has been granted by our Almighty God. Our fasting provides us the opportunity to draw nearer to God as we put down food for 24 hours so we can be much closer to Him. Not having to do all the planning and preparation today, we have further time to be with Him, to be at one with Him. You are the proof of that atonement. And your change into spirit beings will show an entire world, brethren, that you were accepted by God. Your change will show them that. So when you take your physical manifestation, and people say, oh, you were one that was accepted by God, weren't you? Yes, I was. I was accepted by Him. I had my sins forgiven me. My sins were atoned for by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ who died for you too and all of us that we might become His people and know our God. That will give this world, brethren, especially those coming out of the tribulation, great hope. Great hope. Having lived through something like that, wouldn't you want somebody to tell you the truth about what's going to happen next? What's going to happen now? And you're going to tell them the truth. Now you're going to learn how to live. Now you're going to learn to live in a world apart from evil. And it's going to be the truth. And you will be shown what it is to pursue a life of godliness. You will have an opportunity to learn what it is to be at one with your God, who will never leave you, never forsake you, and wants you to be with Him. They will learn of their amazing potential to be accepted by God and to know His will. It will be made plain to them, brethren. They will know His will. And they will then begin their journey to one day be part of the loving family of our eternal God. What a day this is, brethren, for those of us who understand. A deepening of our relationship with the one who called us out of this world, out of darkness into His marvelous light. Knowing that as Christ said, you can't come to me unless my Father calls you, and He did. And we are part of the loving family of God. As we wait for our change, and wait for that day when the ultimate in evil will be, brethren, put away for 1,000 years. So as our day moves on and draws to a close as the sun sets this evening, brethren, please rejoice in this day, realizing the impact that it has. As I said, on the one hand, the binding of all that is evil. All evil shall be bound. But also with the understanding of a deepening relationship with your God. The one that's going to turn our vile bodies, brethren, into a likeness of His own. That we might be able to dwell with Him for all eternity. So we rejoice on this most special high day. The Day of Atonement. Celebrating again, our calling, and looking forward to that day, brethren, when all evil shall be bound.